I will welcome our brother Sam Putu to come and give us a message for today.
Brother Sam.
Thank you.
Good morning. Happy New Year, if you can afford it. We want to thank God for the first Sunday of the year, and I am excited that we're starting this Sunday with the Holy Communion and with a very interesting theme, walking with God. If you haven't made a New Year resolution, may I recommend that your resolution be to walk with God. Amen? And for those who are not used to coming to the Bible study at 8, may your second resolution be, I will not miss Bible studies. Honestly, some of you pay so much to go to Lagos Business School to learn your trade, but you don't want to pay a price to learn your faith. The Bible studies are so rich. If all of you had gone to today's Bible study, honestly, I won't need to preach. Because everything I would want to say was said at the Bible study. For those of you who were there, pardon me to bore you, because you just say, what is this saying that we didn't study? I know that the Arsenal fans are mourning their draw yesterday, but that's no excuse not to come for Bible study. And my U fans are wondering whether Liverpool will trash them. But that's not an excuse not to come for Bible study. I pray that God will make us more committed to His Word. You see, we live in a time that you can't survive in a spiritual middle class. You're either hot for God or hot for the devil. There's no room for the spiritual middle class. Shall we pray? And so, Lord, we come again. We are so aware that walking with you, growing in you, goes beyond what we know. The Pharisees studied so much about Jesus. They studied the Word, believing that in the Word they will find life. But when life came in Christ, they rejected it. Romans 1 tells us about a people that everything that should be known about God, they know. But even though they know God, they won't surrender to Him. They chose other lifestyles. And so the Bible, you tell us, we should not be hearers, deceiving ourselves, lest we be like a person who looked in the mirror to spot where to clean up. But as soon as he stepped away from the mirror, he forgot the spot. Father, help us not to be like that. And help us not to be like those whom the world will come, but the cares of this world, the bears of the earth, will take away. Help us to be men who hear the word, obey it, and so are built on the rock, so that no storms and rains and winds will blow us away from you. Help us this morning to speak well, of speak your word and to hear your word, but above all, both the speaker and the hearers to obey your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll be talking about unsung heroes in the Bible. And particularly this morning, looking at one of them called Enoch. I titled my message, Living Extraordinarily in a World of the Ordinary. We live in a world that people seek prominence. They boast of how many people follow them on Instagram. I have a politician friend who stood for an election, And he got 9,700 votes. But he has 200,000 followers on his Facebook. So ask him, what happened to all those your followers? You know, people brag about the followership they have on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube. I even saw one banner on a Lagos highway, somebody advertising her YouTube channel, and say, like, share. So we live in a world that people seek prominence. And they think that prominence equates to relevance. No. People seek visibility. And they imagine that visibility translates to importance. And I often say there are two VIPs, very important people, very significant people. You can be both. And even when it comes to the things of God, people seek more visibility than relevance. Everybody wants to be a reverend doctor, a reverend apostle priest, wear a collar, have bodyguards. I mean, someone was complaining, how do you know the president is in town when all the roads are shut? And we can see that even on the way to church. How do you know the bishop is coming when all the roads are shut? But friends, with God, you can stand out more in obscurity than in visibility. And that's what we're going to be looking at. You see in the Bible men who walked with God. There was Abel. If you're in the Bible study, we went through all this. Abel was a true worshiper. So much so that his own brother got jealous of him and killed him. The first murder in the Bible was femicide. And what was it so? God asked him, if you had done well, would your offering not be accepted? So you realize that working with God is about doing well. Even as a student, you are not working with God if you are failing your exams. Something got missing somewhere. Don't get me wrong. Don't go and say, I say, working with God translates to automatic success. That would be heresy. But when you are working with God as a student, the Bible says, whatsoever your hands find doing. How do you do it? As unto who? And diligent, the world is led and run by diligent people, not intelligent people. And the Bible says, when you are diligent, you will not be ordinary. You are working, whoever you are working for. One of the biggest causes of low productivity, even among Christians, is that they really don't know who their employer is. Whether you're a slave working for a master or a cashier in the bank, the Bible says, if you are working with God, you do it as unto who? Unto God. That's what changed the South Korean economy. Suddenly, the revival in South Korea translated to high productivity. The teacher realized I'm not working for the Ministry of Education. The civil servant realized that I'm actually a God servant. So they doubled and increased their productivity. I was talking to the president, a former president of the South Korean Academy of Sciences. He was giving an insight on how Daewoo, Samsung, and all this things came about. It was not just a matter of science. It was a matter of people who decided, if we are in the sciences, our working with God must translate to productivity for our country. You will read that the British Industrial Revolution coincided with the revival in Europe. You can't be working with God and not be doing well, lazy, laid back, disloyal, unfaithful. And then you get jealous. So, Abel. There's Noah. You see that long genealogy, the history. What interests me is some live 600 years, 900 years, 800 years. But it was never the number of years they lived that counted. It was the trail they left. And then we came to Enosh, who pioneered worship. Noah, who came to redeem people from the curse. So Enoch, the man who walked with God. Now, hidden amidst a mesh of history, some events and people stand out. What made them stand out? It's not how long they lived. It's not even what they knew, how much they knew, how educated. It's simply that their lives punctuated something. Their lives brought a hyphen or a comma or a full stop on history. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. I was talking to a friend and challenging him to walk with God. And he told me, no. The last man that walked with God disappeared. I don't want to disappear. So what does it mean that Enoch walked with God and he was not? For God took him. Another person we read about is Elijah. Many read into that. Bible scholars are not that united on this matter, but some of their explanation makes sense to me. It's not as if Enoch got, was taken to heaven in body, or Elijah. No. Because if you read very carefully, after all this, he had many sons and daughters and died. So he actually died. And then Hebrews 11 says, all these people died. Did you read that in Hebrews? All of them. The Bible speaks of three kinds of heavens. There is the clouds. It's referred to as heaven. There is the galaxies. And then there is the throne of God. So a person taken to heaven before Christ, it wasn't that he went to the throne of God. He simply was just translated. The word there means also the same thing as relocated. But I see some people shaking their head at my theology. Don't worry about that. The truth is, if you put the whole Bible together, Enoch and Elijah were not in heaven. They are still awaiting resurrection. Praise the Lord. But God kind of separated them from the normal course of living and event. But that's not where we are going. Enoch lived three generations before. Yeah, but first, you need to understand the meaning of Enoch. I think the people showing your slide are too fast. Enoch, in Hebrew, means dedicated, committed, disciplined. That's the meaning of Enoch. And I'm excited at those words. Because working with God requires dedication. It requires discipline. It required training and straining. I think one commentary on our generation, even of Christians, is that we are not disciplined. Much of the problems we have arise simply from lack of discipline. We are not disciplined in our food. As a result, people make money off of us in the gym. We are not disciplined in our sleep. So some of us have to take something to sleep or not sleep. We are not disciplined in the use of time, so we are always in a hurry. Everything is an emergency. We are not disciplined in our use of money and resources. So sometimes our poverty is just a matter of financial indiscipline. And I realized that you don't even need to be a Christian to be disciplined. In 1983, as a young student political activist, we got together in the North and decided that Awolowo must be president. Professional student, some labor group. So Awolowo invited some of us to Ikene for a week. And for 1 week, he was immersing us in the doctrine of Awoism. And he told us how he has kept the same cook for 39 or something years. I forgot it exactly. He kept the same driver for almost 40 years. He kept the same barber. And I asked him, did they never offend you once? And then to think that Awolowo, a Yoruba legend of his time, we haven't found any child outside wedlock from him. What a disciplined life. One of my political heroes, Balarabe Musa, entered government house with his 504, left with his 504. I said, sir, won't you use government car? I said, Dan TB, that's how he calls me. You see that Mercedes, if he's going to Zaria, at most 5 minutes before me, it will reach. Friday after mosque, he's on his way to his farm. That man had 3 dresses. I don't think I saw him with more than 3 dresses. Disciplined. So Enoch, for you to walk with God, some traits must follow your life. Discipline. Is that not what discipleship is about? Discipleship simply means a disciplined man following a sheep, the God sheep. Dedication. We live in a world of half majors. David said, this one thing I do for us, this many things we dabble in. Training. So that's what Enoch meant. And then we say that he lived 3 generations before the destruction of Noah. And as we saw in the Bible study, Enoch lived in a time of wickedness and violence. If you think you've seen banditry and terrorism, go back in time. Corruption, nepotism, state capture. Name all the evils we see in Nigeria today. Multiply them by 10. You will land in the generation of Enoch. But he stood out. Because his righteousness was not a matter of sociology. It was not anchored on its environment. You see, you need to understand the difference between Christianity and every other religion. Every other religion is a thermometer. It is regulated by the environment. So when Muslims seek Sharia or seek Islamic codes, they are trying to protect themselves from their religion. Because if you make it otherwise, it will sink. Christianity is a flask, it's a thermostat. I have my flask. I can keep cold water here and it will last 24 hours, no matter the heat in Lagos. Because a proper thermostat is not regulated from the outside, it regulates the outside. Christianity is a thermostat. It does not have to be a thermometer. So when it's hot, you are up. When it's cold, you are down. No. So in the midst of the corruption in Nigeria, you can walk with God. But it's a personal commitment. The tragedy of our country is not corrupt politicians, misgoverning us and enslaving us. The trip challenge on Nigeria is so-called godly people who are not working with God. And so we are not working with God. You don't see evil, you don't stop evil, but you also, if you are honest, you do evil. So every Nigerian Christian sees no evil, stops no evil. It is the social activists who are clamoring for social justice. And yet the Bible says, He has shown you, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of you, to love justice. The issues of social justice are not the issues of NGOs. They are issues of people who want to walk with God. John the Baptist would have died with his head on his neck if you were just living a holy life. The world will love you for being holy. Oh, if you go to First Bank, go and see Sister Chidima. He won't demand bribe. She won't ask you to do anything. She will just serve you. But the world is not changed by holy men just living holy. The world is changed by holy men living holy and demanding holiness. That's where the problem comes. It was when John challenged the evil of the king that he lost his head. If you're a lecturer giving people accurate marks for what they earn, not touching the girls for marks, every girl in the university will say, if you want correct, go to that lecturer. But the day you walk to the next room where a lecturer is doing that evil and challenge, you may have problem. I remember as a university student activist, we never had student courts in my university. The first one that came, I was living with a courtist myself. He came home one day with blood. I said, "What happened, Charlie P? These boys, they are looking for me. Pastor Sam, don't tell me not, thou shalt not kill. I'm going to kill today." He carried his knife. I followed him. We go to the outskirts of the house. We hear him voicing people in mass. I stood there in the field and I say, "This campus is caught haram. You step here, you are in trouble." They all run away. A sister came to us to complain that there's one lecturer who is harassing her. I said, "What is the name?" I went to his office. I said, "The next time you even lift your eyes and look at this sister's face, you are gone." The righteous are as bold as a lion. The unrighteous are as creaky as chicken. So to walk with God demands boldness. But if you are not right yourself, you can't be bold. And that's the challenge. Enoch challenged evil in his day and stood out. In the midst of wickedness, he walked with God, he pleased God. And because of his faith and dedication to God, God set him apart, took him. Did he die? Even if he died, when you are walking with God, faith, death is a graduation ceremony. You just go to a better place. So when you hear Christians saying, "I shall not die," just know that they are not working with God. It's students that are failing exam who fear graduation day. Most campus riots are 2 weeks to an exam. Check. And the people behind them are those fearing exams. The phrase translated or taken away comes from the Greek word metatotemi. That's the Greek word translated taken away, which means to transfer to another place. And that's what I was saying. He was transferred to another place. Was he heaven? My knowledge of the Bible may not easily allow me to say yes. But he was taken to another place. Let's just leave it there. Friends, Enoch was not found. Enoch was not, for God took him. God took Enoch from where he was and from a situation in which he likely would have seen death. But after he was transferred to another place, Enoch died and ceased to be. The Bible says all the days of Enoch were how many? So his days were numbered. He was not endless. Hebrews 1:11-13 said, "This all died in the faith, not having received the promises. Therefore, Enoch is buried somewhere on the earth, awaiting resurrection." But again, that's not the issue for me today. The issue for me is, what lessons can we learn from Brother Enoch? Not Adegboye now, Enoch. Number one, he was disciplined. He walked by faith diligently. I will say that at the risk of over-repeating myself, that if you are going to walk with God, discipline is key. You need to wake up at a particular time to pray. A time you choose. I won't choose it for you. You have to make up your mind that if the Bible is the textbook of Christianity, I don't know one single student who avoids the textbook. So rather than waking up to a Facebook, you wake up to face the book. I'm saying this not to boast, but I can tell you that my first 3, 4, 5 years as a Christian, I read the Bible almost 7 times. Much of what I know of the Bible today is then, not now. I memorized so many scriptural verses that even now they come alive. The Word of God is like antivirus. God help your computer system that does not have antivirus. That's what David said in Psalm 119. How can a young man, even an old man, keep his way pure? By guiding it according to what? God's will. Thy word have I hid where? In my heart. Your heart and mind are like a hard drive. All kinds of programs are written on them. Corrupt ones. Just this morning, I was trying to check a scripture. The first thing I saw was a naked woman inviting me. I tried to click it off. That is the only thing that will not go off. As I was trying to press on the X, it took me to the main thing. I said, God have mercy on my eyes. There are all kinds of things unintended. But Billy Graham said, "Is the first look is an accident. It's the second look that will cause you a problem." So, discipline. What is the other lesson? His life was a testimony. He received a testimony that he pleased God. Walking with God means pleasing God. You are not walking with God when you are pleasing yourself, pleasing society. And can I tell you that when you make up your mind to please God, unintendedly you will displease society. Because God and society hardly have one view. Share the same view on anything. What God calls sin, we say is a mistake, is my orientation. Enoch pleased God. He walked faithfully. The third lesson from Enoch for me is this. It is never the number of years you live that matters. It is the quality of life you live and the trail you leave behind for God and in the lives of people. That's what matters. He wasn't the oldest. He wasn't the one that lived longest. The world oldest person just died yesterday. Timoko of Japan, that woman, 116 years. But she died. So let's, rather than counting your years, make your years count. Hallelujah. Count for time and eternity. For time, by the impact you make on people's lives. In eternity, by how you help God's kingdom grow. Through your prayer, through your labor, through your kingdom investment. The best investment is offshore investment. So the Bible says, put your treasures where thieves will not steal. I met a former governor who has been depressed because his banker friend died. And he doesn't know where the man kept his investment. But with God, your investments are secure. Hallelujah. They will always be there. You see, in God's eye and in the kingdom, visibility does not equate to importance. And prominence does not equate to relevance. If you doubt me, check your dress. Everything you have on you, the watch, the glasses, the earring, the necklace, you can do without. But the ones inside, the liver, the kidney, the bile, touch them, you are gone. So even the Bible says the most important vessels, God hides them. We think the people moving the kingdom are the missionaries, Brother Sam, the bishop, the apostles. No. Every bishop, missionary, pastor is just like a bullet. Take a bullet with your hand and fling it. At worst, it will cause an irritation. The potency of the bullet depends on the velocity of the gun. Take an arrow, fling it. It will just irritate. The potency of an arrow depends on the pull of the ball. Those who pull the arrows, who fire the gun, are those of you that pray quietly, support the work of mission quietly, encourage. Nobody even knows you're encouraging. When you read Romans 16, Paul listed 34 names in one chapter of those who facilitated his ministry among the Romans. Most of those names, I beg you, you will never hear about them. When Moses was on the mountain, up there, lifting hand, Joshua and the army were in the valley. They were winning the battle, but the Bible says only because Moses' hand were lifted. Whenever Moses' hand, who was seeing Moses? If cameramen went to capture that battle, they would not release Moses, they would go to the valley. And when Moses' hand were weak, there was one Aaron and her. Aaron, you remember, but when next did you read about her in the Bible? Not there. Look at Lazarus. All you ever read about him, he came and died, Jesus rose, woke him up. What else did you read about Lazarus? But when you talk about the power of God, in the Old Testament, is crossing the Red Sea. In the New Testament, is Lazarus waking up. Praise the Lord. What a significant contribution. So friends, as we go into this Holy Communion, I challenge you to take this communion onto a disciplined, dedicated walk with God. Amen. We're going to read a scripture before we go to the communion. 1 Kings 19, 1 to 8. Put it on the board. We'll all read it. For some of us, it's the only scripture you read this week, so we're going to read it. Let's read it together. Sorry, please sit down for 5 minutes. I haven't called you. This scripture talked about Elijah in the time of a wicked king called Ahab. And when a king is wicked, the first lady is twice wicked. Jezebel was twice wicked. And the prophets of Baal, immorality, idolatry, fear the land, extortion. Remember this Ahab stole Naboth's vineyard. How can you have the whole of Lagos in your pocket and you're still stealing land in Abuja? But that was Naboth. That was Ahab. And because the king conscience was pricked when Naboth refused, the wife said, you must be a weak president. How can a commoner deny your land? But in the midst of that, the problem was not the prophets of Baal. The problem was that the altar of the Lord had been broken down. People's walk with God was not in place. The church worship and communion was not in place. So what was the answer? Elijah repaired the altar of the Lord and restored genuine walk with God. When that happened, the prophets of Baal were gone. Friends, as I conclude and we have the communion, Christianity is a call to walk with God. That's all. Matthew 4:19, follow me, I will make you fishers of men. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, they follow me, and I give them life. Life in Christ does not come from following a man of God. It comes from following the God of the man. John 8:12. Those who follow me will not walk in darkness. A walk with God brings you light in every situation of your life, in your personal life, family, business. You don't walk in darkness. No wonder 1 John 1 says, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship. This is the record. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If you say you are walking with God and you're in darkness of sin, worldliness, carnality, you deceive yourself. And the bigger deceit is self-deceit. Even fellowship together is not possible when some are walking in the light and some are walking in the dark. Hallelujah. So, the question we answered, we tried to tackle in the Bible study, is the question I will end with. Why is it difficult for people to walk with God, even Christians? Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together except what? For you to walk with God, you have to be in agreement with God. Your life has to be in agreement with God. Your thinking. Romans 12 said, do not be conformed to this world. Be what? Transformed. By renewing your mind, then you will know the will of God. The truth is, can we be honest? Many of us don't trust God. Even me, I don't trust him sometimes. It started in the Garden of Eden. God told Adam, see, everything in this garden you can eat and eat, but there's one you mustn't touch. If you touch it, you will surely die. The devil said to man, you will die but not surely die. Excuse me, what is the meaning of that? In other words, the devil told Eve, what God is saying is not good for you is the best for you. In fact, God is against your interest. Many young people who are not Christian believe that Davido is sweeter than Nathaniel Bass. So, we come to church, we do Nathaniel Bass. We go to Harbor Point, we do Davido. And I ask him, I say, so which is which? Many of us don't believe that if you don't give bribe in Nigeria, you won't make progress. That is the way. So, seated here this morning, are people who bribe embassies to get visa for their children. They bribe registrars to get admission to some courses. And so when we gather together to pray against corruption, God is saying, look at the hands that are going up. In fact, when we say, may the power of the Lord come down, God says, I love you too much to come down. Because some of the money that roof our churches were stolen money. So if you come down, the roof will collapse. I learned this in the university. We had a fellow student who had a Peugeot 504. That is the car we're using to do outreaches, evangelism. Then one Indian contractor accused the registrar of bribe. And I was mandated to investigate the story before we go on riot. And I found out that one of the bribe articles of that car we're using to evangelize. So imagine the power of the Lord came down. We'll have accident and die. You know, one time the children of Israel were begging God, please come with us, come with us. God said, I love you too much to come near you. That's why sometimes it doesn't bother. May the Lord help us in Jesus' name. We have to agree with God that his ways are the best. His thoughts are the best. His time is the best. Hallelujah. If you don't agree, you won't walk with God. His word is the best. So, as we take this communion, I charge us to take it was born before technology. The two elements. Why did God give Elijah the food? There was a journey ahead. But he was tired. He was wearied from running away from the wicked society. His soul was down. He looked at Nigeria. You look at Nigeria for the years you have been talking and working and criticizing. Things are not changing. You can just get weary. What's gonna be is gonna be. What goes up must come down. What's gonna be is gonna be. There's nothing you can do about it. So just leave it. Elijah was weary. He ran. Some have jackpot, right? But because he was in God's plan for the land, God met him in the wilderness. And he was weary, so God fed him. But after he got the first dose of Holy Communion of 2024, he just went to sleep. The Holy Communion is not to make you sleep. It's to energize you, renew covenant, renew spirit, renew energy, so you can go on a journey for God. May this communion empower you to lengthen your walk with God and enlarge your walk for God. The Bible says when Elijah ate, he went in that strength for many years. I'm dedicating this communion. We are dedicating it to find strength, renewed spiritual vigor to go on an assignment for God. Can I tell you, Jesus is coming soon. Many of us don't want to hear that. I'm not yet married. I haven't built a house in the village. He's not waiting for that. When this gospel of the kingdom is preached throughout the world as a witness to every nation, he will come. When I started missionary work 30-something years ago, there were about 10,000 tribes in the world without the gospel. They have shrunk to 3,000. And You see me like this, I'm still running around the world recruiting prayer, recruiting worker, recruiting resources so that we can overrun the 3,000. You'll be here when we finish. And before you know it, pa 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 pa, the trumpet sound. Don't think God is waiting for your agenda. The Lord will strengthen you this 2025. It will be a year of walking with God. A disciplined, dedicated, faithful walk. And can I tell you, when you do that, light will shine. We are not called to chase away darkness. We are called to shine light. In your office, you can't stop the MD from stealing money. But you will refuse to steal. And when you find out he's stealing, don't come to church and ask us to pray for your MD. Walk to his office and say, "Sir, I just realized you are stealing money here." If you don't stop, the judgment of God is coming. You lose your job, but you gain the kingdom favor. You please God. Hallelujah. When Tinubu is not doing well, stop complaining in your bedroom. Mobilize your family and carry placards. Stand on the street. Bola Tinubu, you are not doing well. Police may arrest you. You spend 2 days in Kirikiri, but you would have made a point. Prayer by itself achieves nothing. If prayer will achieve anything, it gives you work. May this communion enable your prayer to give you work and energy to do the work. In Jesus' name we pray.